Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you?
I am good. I'm excited for
me too.
Fun tracks today.
Me too. Also, I mean, we're about to talk about what this is, but people have already started texting in cover songs that they love.
I know there's so many good ones. It was so hard.
So covers as a broad sort of wheelhouse. Why are we talking about this today? Why are we interested in it?
Well, here's the weird thing. So all of our music is based on sort of Western music codes, which is like Western classical. So originally songs were written in notation.
Okay, yep.
By a composer who would be different than the performer.
Yep, got you.
I mean, sometimes they'd perform their own songs, but not always. And so for pop music up until, what, you know, like 20 years ago when everything changed to the internet and everyone's still figuring it out, it still was like that. You had a composer and then the first person that recorded it, that's sort of the performance you cover. Like some of the songs will come today that the first person that recorded it didn't write it. It might have still had a composer.
Yeah.
And it really was rock music in the 60s that said, you should compose your own songs.
That's so interesting.
You know, that they should be the same person. Because before that, you know, no problem. Well, we did that Great American Songbook. You pick great songs. And if you're a good singer, you put your spin on it. The other fun thing about cover songs, though, is if you know both versions, right? So you know the original one. And then the second one is like this fun contrast.
See, this is what I always find so interesting about playing cover songs is people have really strong reactions to them.
Yeah.
They either love them or they hate them. And they're like, it's not like the original. It's blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, is fair enough. Because if you love that original song, it almost feels like an insult to hear someone do a very different version.
But then on the other hand, you don't want them to do the same version.
No, you don't.
Because then that's like, be like lack of originality.
I agree.
That clash of, oh, but the song's supposed to be about love, but now you've kind of made it
totally. And you hear
sad.
The ways that people take something, make it their own,
yeah.
And you can get a totally new spin on a track. Yeah.
Yeah, so the money always goes to the lyricist and melody writer. See, now with people creating beats and machines, it's all complicated. Nobody knows what to do with it. So it doesn't go to the original singer if they weren't
the one who wrote it.
The composer,
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they can have still made a song iconic. And then sometimes the cover will do better than the other one. And then
you have a whole nother thing, like times when I have confidently said on this show, this song is by this person.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, that's actually a cover. I'm like, you know what? I never knew that. I think we should just crack into this first one, which I know a lot of people will be very happy to hear.
So this is Toots and the Maytals.
I love this song. This song makes me so happy. I also love the original, Take Me Home Country Roads by John Denver.
Yeah, and see, he didn't write it. This other couple wrote it, but he was the first one to record it.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then this is like a year later that they released this cover. So people were like, oh, because to us that seems weird. I would think, oh, I'll cover a song from 10, 20 years ago. But just as John Denver's one was sort of fading off the charts, this came out.
And did it have any, like, influence on John's original recording as well? Did that have a little spike back into the charts, anything like that?
I wonder if it's a spike, but apparently he likes it. And I think Toots and the Maytals just did like a re-recording of it in 2019.
Amazing.
But you know, that's a weird clash, right? Country music.
Yeah.
Roots reggae.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you're like, oh yeah.
Makes sense.
Sense of home and going, you know, the mountains. Except these guys change a couple
of
phrases.
Lyrics, yeah.
You'll hear it here. Oh no, we're not heading
next,
to the chorus.
Next verse.
It just makes you feel happy.
It does. My flatmate says this is her brother's end of the night party song. End of the family party. You're like, all right, we're winding it
get
down.
Get me home.
Everyone's feeling a bit mellow.
John Denver's one is not happy.
No.
You know, it's got this sort of maudlin.
It's more longing, eh?
Okay, here we go. With the lyric change. Where do they belong? West Jamaica. Apparently West Virginia's, you know, the state motto is almost heaven.
Oh, cute. It's just such a great song. And I think that's maybe, there's so many reasons why people would do a cover. But when covers become almost as iconic as the original,
yes,
it says something maybe about like that melody, yeah, that how sentiment. Good
the song is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it can cope with a whole different sort of beat and instrumentation. You know, it doesn't, you know, you can put anything beneath it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd love to know people's favourite covers and why. Why it's your favourite cover. Text it in on 5395. I know you've got some good reckons out there.
Yeah, so this is more about going home after a good night than being
or a bad night.
Longing
you're like,
away.
So, I didn't really know about that, about the kind of complicated, I guess, who gets paid when a cover song happens.
Really complicated. Like, you know, a lot of people will cover Aretha Franklin, Respect, but she wasn't the writer, so she gets zero. Even if they copy her exactly, and the horn players in her version, those guys get nothing. It was written by Otis Redding, so that's fine. We want him to get money.
That is so interesting, though, that you can make something iconic, make, I guess, those original writers a lot of money in the first place, and then still not necessarily see future revenue from it. Very different kettle of fish here.
So Devo singing the Rolling Stones.
I think it's always interesting when you hear a band do a cover, especially if it's like an unexpected cover, because it gives you a little insight into what that artist listens to. And like,
I like that too. Yeah, like Frank Ocean's Moon River. And you're like, you're not listening to hip hop all day long. And
it kind of shows you a little window into
their history.
Their history and their influences. And sometimes you hear them do a cover and you're like, oh my God, that's the missing piece.
Yeah, of course they loved that.
Yes, yeah. Like, it totally makes sense for Devo to do a Rolling Stones song in many ways. You know, like, there's a absolute parallel in their kind of songwriting.
And apparently the meanings of it about consumption and capitalism, which I don't know if we really hear in the Mick Jagger version, but apparently it's there.
Mm.
But Devo was all about that, it's this sort of artistic deconstruction.
It's like that recontextualizing something as well. Yeah. You take it out of that original context and you make it your own thing, and it makes you think about that in a completely different way.
This was actually, I mean, it's their second single, but this was their sort of first charting sort of music.
That's
before
interesting.
Whip It, they were doing this, and they were on SNL and performed it. And oh my God, there's so much written about this cover. I don't know why. Obviously, some writers are obsessed with it. But apparently they played it to Mick Jagger before they released it.
Oh, really?
To make sure.
That he was cool with it.
And he liked it?
Well, apparently it's like he stood quiet for like a while and was like, oh, he hates it. And then he got up and did his, moves.
That's great.
You can just imagine just elbows and knees.
The stress, first of all, of playing a song to Mick Jagger and then him doing nothing. And then the relief you'd get when he starts doing his little T-Rex dancing. Oh, be great.
Yep. Now, apparently, the Devo members said they felt like this sounds like mutated reggae. I don't know, but
maybe. Very mutated.
And also, Devo were right part of that wave of music videos. And because they were such an art sort of group, their dog bowls on their head and yellow plastic jumpsuits and
all the whole shebang.
It was just the right time. They just sort of came, cruised on in there.
Very different vibe again.
Now, this to me is the number one cover of all time.
Strong call.
And this came like a year after the original as well. Like, that's just
such a quick turnaround.
Normally that would see, a risk. It just came out a year ago and you're going to cover it. And I would say this is more famous than the original.
So what are we listening to here, Kirsten?
This is the Isley Brothers singing Seals and Crofts, Summer Breeze. And, this is also sort of one of the best summer songs. Maybe we need it today, sort of bring a little
warm us up a bit, yeah. It's been interesting over the last year. We've talked about this a lot at the station. We've noticed lots of bands internationally and locally doing covers. And I wonder if it's like a comfort thing, like people are returning to music that they know, that they like feel comfortable around, that reminds them of less pandemic-y times.
True. And it's they're good live, you know, because everyone can sing along. You know how when you go to see a band live and they're like, we're going to play some of our new material. And you're like, what? But I don't know it. But yeah, so Seals and Crofts were sort of folky rock. And then, you know, you wouldn't think the Isley Brothers would be listening to them.
No, exactly.
I have a fun fact for you.
Oh, hit us.
Isley Brothers did a lot of covers as part of their career. That's just obviously, you know, the Don't Feel as Strong writers. One of the earlier covers they did in the early 60s was Twist and Shout. Oh. And the Beatles heard it.
Wow.
This is where the Beatles got it after hearing Isley Brothers.
That is interesting. See the curtain. All right, I better read some of these out. We've got some good texts coming in here. Nirvana's cover of Lead Belly's Where Did You Sleep Last Night? I would say that's one almost that's eclipsed the original in terms of like notoriety.
Oh, yeah.
Song for Sirens, Cocteau Twins, or The Slits, Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Oh, it's such a good cover. Okay. And again, it just makes it its own song, which is cool. Hot Leg covering Darcy Clay's All I Gotta Do, a nice local one there.
No one's saying Sinead O'Connor, nothing compares to you.
I mean, Sinead is a legend.
I mean, how do you
right?
eclipse Prince?
You can't. You cannot.
But she kind of got close, right?
She got close. Oh, yes, Sonic Youth cover of Carpenter's Superstar. One of my fave
covers.
Okay,
I don't know that one.
Pulls it into a totally different world as well. Hurt, covered by Johnny Cash.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't play that one today. I just like it. It's too dark.
It's so terribly sad, and I love it.
But it is a gorgeous song. Crocodiles doing Groovers in the Heart. I actually haven't heard that.
Okay. Neither.
Grace Jones, She's Lost Control. Grace Jones knows how to do a good cover. Let me tell you. But also, she knows how to do everything well, doesn't she? Someone says Tainted Love by Stella Starlight Trio is the best version. Unequivocally, according to this
person.
Well,
because the one we know is a cover, too.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the original by?
It's a lady.
Yeah.
Black lady.
Google.
British or not. Yeah. Yeah, because that was on my list, but no one knows the original.
Gloria Jones.
See, there you go.
Okay. 1964.
Marilyn Manson, Sweet Dreams.
Crazy.
That's a good, you know.
Although Marilyn Manson.
Into the bin. In the bin, lid of the bin closed.
Yes. Ty Segall, someone says, everyone's a winner or I'm a man. Ty also can do a very good cover. Again, makes it his own song. It's interesting, a lot of the texts that are coming in are from covers that have become like...
More, yeah.
Not just like, oh, what a cool cover of that track. It's like, I don't really listen to that Ty Segall track and think it's a cover, even though... I do know that.
Now, here's a big debate. Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
I like it, but, you know, the Cohen fans are like, no!
There's very much two camps on that one, aren't there? And every X Factor contestant since then. Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Yeah. Is that a cover?
Yeah, it's the Zootons.
I didn't know that.
And this guitar solo goes down in a lot of people's greatest guitar solos of all time list. So.
It does shred extremely hard.
Shreddies for breakfast.
Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower.
Yes.
Tori Amos, Smells Like Teen Spirit. I would also say Patti Smith.
That's pretty dark too.
Patti Smith's one, Patti Smith's version of that, big fan. Actually, wait, she covered that, eh? Now I'm getting confused about the order of history here. Someone will correct me. We're getting a few texts from the Carpenter's cover album. People are saying Shonen Knife's version of Top of the World. That's a really good album.
Okay.
Of just all bands covering the Carpenters.
Well, yeah, again, and not all these bands, you would say, you listen to Carpenters, you know? And so, like you said before, it sort of highlights
Karen's influence.
You know, yeah, their palette that informs them.
Yeah, I do think it is interesting that in the last year we've seen like a lot of covers come out, really good covers, but maybe it's that thing of people are at home, it's exhausting trying to exist in a pandemic, it's too much to sort of sit down and try and write your own song.
Well, yeah, what are they going to be about? Loneliness.
Yeah, exactly.
Depression.
So having these kind of covers is like a nice way to connect maybe with people across time and space.
Ooh,
through the medium of music. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Rachel Ashby.
Oh, man, there are so many covers coming in here. Someone said Rihanna covered a Tame Impala song. I haven't heard that.
Wow.
Wild combo, though. I will have to look it up. Thank you very much for bringing us these wonderful covers this morning, discussing the phenomenon that is. It's actually so much more recent than I realised that we've sort of started having original music being the reason for a band to exist.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, thank you for that, Kirsten. Have a lovely rest of your day. What are we going to talk about next week?
Songs in 3/4 time.
Okay.
Oh, Kane.
Waltzen.
Well, good for you, Waltzes. Yes.
We'll see you then.
Okay. That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
All right, we're going to